Bhagavad Lila, 10th canto, chapter 42, Mathura Lila, breaking of the sacrificial bow in the arena, the wrestling arena of Kamsa. As Krishna continued to walk along the royal road, he saw a young hunchback woman with an attractive face carrying a tray of sandalwood paste. With a desire to entertain his friends, Krishna spoke to that hunchbacked woman. "Oh, who are you, O tall one with beautiful thighs? Who is this sandalwood paste for? Please tell us truthfully. If you give us your finest sandalwood paste, you will gain great benefit." The hunchbacked maidservant replied, "O handsome one, I am a servant of King Kansa, who very much appreciates the sandalwood I supply to him daily. My name is Kubja, or Trivakra. Who else but you two deserve my sandalwood paste, which the king of the Bhojas likes so much?" Krishna is described as Rasaprada, he who bestows ecstatic mellows. To Kubja, Krishna gave Madhurya Ras, conjugal love. To his comrades, he gave Hasya Ras, laughter. And Adbhuta Ras, wonder, he gave to the general public. This young hunchbacked girl, Kubja, was actually a partial expansion of Krishna's wife, Satyabhama. Satyabhama is Krishna's Sarup Shakti, known as Bhushakti, and this expansion of hers, known as Prithvi, represents the earth, which was bent down because of the great burden of countless wicked rulers. Prithvi, a topmost devotee, showed her devotion to Sri Krishna by offering the essence of the earth element, namely fragrance, which is represented by the most fragrant substance that the earth produces, namely sandalwood paste. And thus, the earth goddess Prithvi offered her sandalwood paste to Krishna, whom she met on the royal road in Mathura. Accepting the sandalwood with great joy, Krishna bestowed Madhurya Ras on the hunchback Kubja and said, "O my devotee earth, know that the burdens caused by Kansa and others have now been taken on by me. Therefore, you should stand up straight." Comforting her in this way, Krishna straightened out the blissful Kubja. Some acharyas explain the event in this way. When Krishna addresses Kubja as beautiful thighed one, Varu Uru, he's actually revealing his inner desire. When Kubja replies, "O Sundara, or handsome one," she is hinting at her conjugal desire for Krishna alone. Kubja was called Trivakra because her body was bent in three places, neck, chest, and waist. She told Krishna, "Because of my hunchback deformity, Kansa respects me only for my work of preparing body ointments and nothing else." Thus, Kubja reveals her purity by this statement. Hence, she was not engaged in any bodily service or intimate relationship with Kansa. Her mind, overwhelmed by Krishna's sweet beauty, charm, smiles, words, and glances, Kubja began to smear the sandalwood over Krishna and Balaram's bodies with great devotion, making the two lords look even more attractive. Pleased and desiring to reward her for her seva, Krishna pressed down her toes with his feet while placing his forefingers on her cheeks. Then, with a jerk, Krishna straightened Kubja's body. In an instant, the hunchback was transformed into an exquisitely beautiful woman with a straight body and nicely proportioned limbs, slim waist, large hips and breasts. Being very grateful and feeling lusty desires for Keshava, the girl caught hold of the end of Krishna's cloth. Smiling flirtatiously, she frankly spoke as follows, completely forgetting that she was standing in the middle of the street, surrounded by Krishna's comrades. "O hero, let us go to my house. I cannot bear to leave you here. O best of males, take pity on me, for you have greatly agitated my mind." Krishna felt a little embarrassed, and so he first glanced at Balaram's face and then the coward boy's. Knowing the girl to be simple and attracted to him, Krishna laughed a little and replied, "O beautiful lady, I am pleased by your invitation. As soon as my purpose is fulfilled, I shall come to your house. Such a girl like you is the only solace for one like me, who is away from home and not yet married. As a suitable girlfriend, you can relieve us of all kinds of anxieties." Leaving Kubja with these sweet words, Krishna went to the marketplace, where the merchants presented Krishna and Balaram various offerings and worshipped them. The women gathered around Krishna and Balaram, being agitated by feelings of conjugal love and captivated by Krishna's extraordinary beauty. Krishna asked where the arena of the bow sacrifice would take place. Arriving there, Krishna saw the amazing bow, which resembled Indra Danu, the bow of Indra. The opulent bow was guarded by many men who were engaged in respectfully worshipping it. Krishna pushed his way through the crowd of people and picked up the bow and ignored the guards who tried to forbid him. Holding the bow for a moment in his left hand, Krishna strung it in a second. The guards looked on helplessly. Krishna powerfully pulled the string, snapping the bow in the middle, just like an elephant destroys a stalk of sugarcane. The tremendous cracking sound of the bow filled all directions. Hearing it, Kamsa began to fear for his life. The enraged caretaker of the bow ordered the guards to pick up their weapons and seize Krishna and his companions. As the guards surrounded Krishna and Balaram, shouting, "Grab them! Kill them!" Krishna and Balaram picked up two halves of the bow and struck down all those guards. Kansa sent a small contingent of soldiers to assist the guards. Krishna and Balaram polished off all the soldiers and left by the main gate to continue their tour of Mathura. Seeing the great prowess of the two brothers, the Mathuravasis concluded that they must be two prominent demigods. The sun set, and Krishna and Balaram returned to the cowherd wagon's camp. After the servants washed their feet and fed them milk with rice, Krishna and Balaram passed the night resting comfortably, although knowing well of Kansa's intentions. On the other hand, in the palace of Kamsa, the king Kamsa was terrified, hearing how Krishna and Balaram had broken the sacrificial bow and killed his guards and soldiers as if in sport. He began to understand the power of God, and he realized that the eighth son of Devaki had now appeared to kill him. Kamsa could not sleep. He saw many bad omens that were messengers of death, such as not seeing his face in a mirror. and seeing double images of the moon and the stars in the sky. He saw a hole in his shadow, and he could not hear the sound of his breathing. Trees had a golden hue. There was buzzing in his head, and he could not see his footprints on the ground. After finally falling asleep, Kansa dreamt that he saw ghosts riding in a chariot drawn by donkeys. Then he saw that someone gave him poison and he was drinking it. And he saw himself going naked with a flower garland around his neck and oil smeared over his body. Seeing all these bad omens while dreaming and awake, Kansa became terrified at the thought of death, and he could hardly sleep. After the night finally passed, Kansa busied himself arranging for the grand wrestling festival. Kamsa's men performed the ritualistic worship of the wrestling arena, and the whole area was nicely decorated with flags, ribbons, arches, and flowers. The Mathuravasis and people from Mathura district came and sat down in the galleries surrounding the wrestling arena. The royalty sat in a special raised area reserved for them. Surrounded by his ministers, Kansa took his seat on the imperial platform, especially constructed for him. Nevertheless, his heart was trembling with fear. When the musical accompaniment commenced, the lavishly ornamented wrestlers proudly entered the arena with their trainers and sat down. At this time, Kansa welcomed Nanda Maharaj and the other coward men, and they in turn presented King Kamsa all their articles of tribute and then took their seats. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur offers some very interesting comments on this chapter 42, the breaking of the sacrificial bow, in relation to the Mathura Ramanis, when the women, the city women of Mathura, saw Krishna, just the sight of him aroused Cupid in their hearts. Tandarshna Smara Shubhad. So these wives of the Mathura merchants were the most advanced devotees in the city because they immediately experienced symptoms of conjugal attraction when they saw Krishna. Such conjugal attraction for Krishna usually develops after some time in association with the object of love. Theirs was love at first sight. There are 10 effects of Cupid described in the Shastras. Smara Dasha, Dashaiva Su. First, when one is influenced by Cupid, or lust or attraction to the opposite sex, first comes attraction expressed through the eyes. Chakshu raga pratam mam. Then intense attachment in the mind and heart. Then determination, loss of sleep, becoming emaciated, disinterest in external things, shamelessness, madness, becoming stunned, and death. Though these 10 symptoms of Cupid's effects generally appear in stages, when Krishna entered Mathura, the ladies of Mathura, all they manifested all at once by seeing the gorgeous body of Krishna. By seeing Krishna's incredible beauty, the Mathura ladies forgot who they were, where they were, and what they were doing. Because of the impulse of Cupid, they became thin, and thus the bangles and clothing slipped from their bodies. They were trembling, stretching their limbs, and finally rolling on the ground, which loosened their locks of hair. These are all signs of madness, the 8th effect of Cupid. Standing like painted pictures indicates, which is told in the verse, Valaya Lakya Murtaya, verse 14. Standing like painted pictures indicates that the ladies of Mathura lost their consciousness. And this is the 9th stage of Cupid's effects. Because the 10th stage of Cupid, death, is inauspicious in relation to Krishna, it does not usually manifest in Krishna's premi bhaktas. However, they do manifest the other 9 symptoms, culminating in becoming stunned in ecstasy. This is Vishnu's comment. So when Krishna and Balaram, after they broke the sacrificial bow, the Danur, then returned to the encampment where Nanda Maharaj and the Gopas were staying, while Krishna and Balaram fell fast asleep, Nanda Maharaj could not sleep the entire night due to fear. He was fearful that Kamsa may harm his sons. Nanda Maharaj was speaking, "Oh, my children, what have you foolishly done today? Why did you break the bow they were worshipping and then kill the guards? I do not know what that angry Kamsa will do tomorrow. Alas, alas, why have I brought these 2 young boys here from the coward village?" Before the wrestling match started, Chanura, Mushtika, Kuta, Shala, and Toshla, who were the opponents of Krishna and Balaram, they sat on the mat in the wrestling ring. And then Nanda Baba and all the Brijbasis, they made offerings and took their seats. King Kamsa respectfully called Nanda Maharaj and the leaders of Braj forward so they could make their offerings to the central government. At that time, Kamsa assured Nanda, "Oh, my dear Brajaraj, you are the most important of my village rulers. Yet, even though you have come to Mathura from your cowherd village, you have not come to visit me. Is that because you are frightened? Do you think that your 2 sons are bad because they broke the bow? I invited them here because I heard that they were extremely powerful. And I have arranged this wrestling match as a test of their strength. Please come forward without hesitation. Don't be afraid." At that time, Nanda Maharaj noticed that his 2 sons, Krishna and Balaram, were not present. Apparently, out of disrespect for King Kamsa's order, Krishna and Balaram had taken the morning off and gone elsewhere. Thus, Kamsa delegated some coward men, who were affectionate, close relatives, to go look for Krishna and Balaram and advise them to behave properly and come back to the wrestling arena. Upananda and others quickly came forward and offered yogurt, ghee, cloth, and gold coins to King Kamsa. Not seeing any space on the platform of the king, Nanda and the coward men sat down in the galleries. Even though Nanda Maharaj is a king, there wasn't any facility or arrangement for him to sit there in the proper honorable seat of a king, so he sat down in the normal galleries. Trinadapi sunichena tarari vasihishna amanina amanidena kirtaniya sadahari.